Good morning and welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. This is a morning in which many, many brave souls are running a marathon from Folsom all the way down into Sacramento. So it makes it quite tricky for anyone to get here from the other side of J Street or the other side of the Sac State Bridge. So we made it. And the online people, you avoided all of the chaos on all of the streets. So we are grateful to be in this together with you all, both in person and online. Invite you to stand as you're willing and able. We're going to move into worship on this Advent Sunday, the second Sunday in the season of Advent, with song.
Holy God, as we light the first two Advent candles this morning, we take a deep collective breath in and let it out and know in that breath that you are here. You never leave our sides. Like a protective mother hen or the sun who circles the earth, you carry us with you. And so today we light these candles and we ask you to buoy our hearts. Send your spirit rushing through us like a mighty wind. For these days, God, we have much to fear. So help us to empty our pockets of all our fears and give them over to you, trusting that you will hold them tenderly, just as you hold us. You whisper, God, be not afraid. You promised to never leave our side. You call us beloved. And so, may that be enough for today. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated here or at home as we move into our Advent prayer.
I remember the first time I was afraid. I was a child. It was a nightmare. You remember those pesky monsters under the bed. I remember minutes felt like hours. I begged the sun to rise. Fear always begs the sun to rise. Eventually, after minutes that felt like hours, I cried out. My dad came running. He sat at the edge of my bed. He said there is no reason to be afraid. He checked the closet and the floorboards. He rearranged my pillows. He said, I can stay. And that's when I learned that when you are afraid, love always comes running. Love says, I can stay. That's what God does for us. God sits at the edge of the bed. God checks the closet and the floorboards. God says, be not afraid. God stays until sunrise. Love always comes running.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord your God is with thee. Blessed are you to bless all the world. Mary, peace is yours. The Spirit is upon you. You will be with child. Do not fear. Mother of God, your baby boy will grant us peace. Your baby boy will grant us peace. Word made flesh, born of Virgin Mary. Hope is in the world, Emmanuel. The Lamb of God, God in flesh he came. He would show the world a better way. Emmanuel, God with us, Son of God, hear your people calling, all cry out for peace. Can you hear? In our despair, we doubt in your return. Messiah, will you come once again?
God be with us. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We are grateful to be together this morning with you for worship as we continue our worship series called From Generation to Generation. For those of us gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. If you would like to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. We have one series finishing this Tuesday, and registration for December 9th and 10th retreat is full. Our next Growing in Faith series will begin January 22. Learn more and sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. Now I'm going out of the script. So I would like to thank people who usually volunteers or who's here to volunteer and make coffee in the morning, especially we're here at 7:30, and I would really like to thank them and all of those who have joined me in the past and even today and helping out and setting and prepping up. I've realized that it's a very important way of just connecting with others, and it is somewhat, at least for me, when I was my beginning stage, it was a way of me knowing people and connecting with others, as I love to talk. I do have a clipboard. I find it the, and I said it the last time, the old way is the new way, and the clipboard is so effective that people are signing up, and I love that. And Pastor Matt is passing on the clipboard. Please sign up. Even this morning when I was here, our musicians were practicing. And one thing I got to know is that during the week they do their own, and then on Sunday they come together and practice together. And they sound perfect, even while practicing. And I get goosebumps, and it's such an amazing feeling. Early morning, you're here, and you're just doing your thing, and you just get to listen to music at the same time. So please sign up, and I would like to thank them, and thank you in the future who's all going to sign up. I invite you to remain seated and allow this piece of music called Nothing to Fear to be our prayer.
Our first reading this morning comes to us from the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, in the first 10 verses. It'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along. There are Bibles scattered around, as well as I know many of us have on our phones. A shoot shall come out from the stalk of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Let's remain seated for this next piece of music that comes to us. Let it wash over us and prepare us for the next scripture.
Angel Gabriel came to Mary in the hills of Galilee. Apprehension and confusion filled her, wondering what's to be. Do not be afraid, the angel told the maid. God has highly favored thee.
Though his words were filled with glory, still the message brought great fear. Who am I to bear the Savior with
by week in Mary's belly, God was growing flesh and bone. As her life and path were changing, never was she left alone. With her all the while was Mary's holy child, pledge of here I am, of God's own. Whether we may feel we're ready for the task before us laid, God will strengthen and uphold say, here I am, to God's transcendent plan, trusting God to lend us aid.
Good morning. Right now, I want to invite our children to move with our teachers upstairs to our Godly Play Sanctuary while our musicians help us with some walking music. Godly Play is our ministry with children on Sunday mornings. Storytellers share stories from Scripture and invite children to wonder about the mystery and love of God. While we have loving and professional care available to our youngest children in the A-frame throughout our worship, godly play is designed for children in elementary school. Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and we invite you to follow along. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her.
As our musicians move down, I invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depth of your love and your mystery meet us in this moment. May your love shape the words of my mouth and the reflections that each of us hold. May your hope center us in this moment that we might find our lives aligned with your love for the world. Amen. In her memoir called This Here Flesh, Spirituality, Liberation, and Stories That Make Us, the author Cole Arthur Riley titles the seventh chapter simply Fear. She writes this, "I believe fear has the holy potential to draw out awe in us, to lead us into deeper patterns of protection and trust, to mold us into people engaged in the unknown, capable of making mystery of it instead of terror. I cannot say that I wanted to talk with you today about fear, but sometimes we need to talk about things that we'd rather avoid. I actually learned in an article in a magazine called Christianity Today that back in December of 2020, I think what was happening in December of 2020, searches on a popular Bible app increased by 80% in the year 2020. Listen to how the search engine kind of unfolded as 2020 moved. First, as 2020 began, fear became the app's top search. Fear. And then just a few months later, justice in the spring. And then healing trended throughout the year. This morning we pause where so many of us were at that early moment, fear, recognizing that it takes many forms. I want to share about one of the forms. We pick up our veggie box from Full Belly Farm, some other folks here do as well, on Wednesday afternoons, and it's just a few blocks from here. And my partner Sarah was there picking up veggies from Full Belly Farm, and our daughter was in the car. She's a teenager now, so you can imagine what she was doing, looking at her phone. And a friend of ours who also picks up their veggies from Full Belly at the same house noticed our daughter in the car and popped out from the side. And our daughter in that moment almost flew through the roof. She jumped so high out of fear. That's one of our responses to fear, our bodies, that like shock, that primal fear. We want to just have flight, to take flight. As you know, though, that's not our only response to fear. Early in the fall, just a couple months ago, Pastor Linda and I were leading a group of people who were wondering if God might be calling them to plant a new church community. And we were leading this group out at Table Farm, and there were probably eight or so of us seated together around the little table that's not far from those beds that we see right there. And as we were gathering, the morning was progressing, everything was moving along fine, and all of a sudden, two white trucks showed up. And out of those trucks jumped several men who had on orange jackets. You know those orange jackets that say, like, I'm here because I know how to do physical labor, and these tell people that I know how to do that? They jumped out with the orange vests, and they had those on, and they had clipboards, and they had iPads, and they were trying to get in, and they didn't really ask. They just said, we need to walk the property. And before I could really figure out what was happening, I was like, okay. And then I went back, and as I'm sitting down watching them put out their equipment, what I realize is these are surveyors. Surveyors don't just show up and put out all their equipment unless someone has paid them to do that. And in that moment, I started to go into a new place of fear. See, we've been, for just a dollar a year, we've had a really loose lease with one of the Catholic churches and schools called St. Robert in Hollywood Park. They have allowed us to come in the back of their play yard and farm the back of that space, and then to share everything that we're growing there through an interfaith food bank just a couple of blocks away. And I started to go into that place of fear that we have been tending and cultivating this little farm to grow food alongside our neighbors and to give that food away, and a declining religious institution with decades of deferred maintenance is going to sell that land and make money to pay for some of the deferred maintenance. It's such an example of what's happening as our churches continue to decline in so many ways. And fear swelled up in me, and I want to confess that flight is not, like my daughter, my first instinct to fear most often. It's kind of like flight, but it's missing the L. It wasn't flight for me, it was fight. And I read this week an Indian mystic, Rajneesh, says that anger is fear in disguise. I think I know that feeling too well. Fear in disguise. And that's what I was feeling as I was sitting there imagining the beautiful rows being leveled so that single-family homes could be built and deferred maintenance could be addressed. And I've learned over the last few months that oftentimes fear is really reasonable. It turns out those surveyors were there because they were hired by the Catholic Church to survey the land, and they do intend to sell that beautiful space where we're growing vegetables for our neighbors. so that they can address deferred maintenance. I am grateful that the priest there has been meeting with Chloe and with our administrative board. They're offering space kind of behind in that back field area, wondering, like, we've never moved a farm before, but we'd never farmed before a couple years ago, so now we'll learn to move a farm. And they're wondering if we might be able to relocate in that same space. And they're willing to at least talk with us that we could stay through the summer so that we could continue to grow and share food with neighbors in that same space. And as early as this afternoon, a small team is going to go from our administrative board and some other folks to just explore some other possibilities of what could this look like, what initiatives or what might be available to us. So for me, what's happened over those last months is the initial response to fight and to name just the absurdity that this is where we are right now has evolved into just some deeper sadness and grief. And that's becoming mixed with some wonder after time for me. And you may not be there yet, and that's okay. But for me, it's becoming mixed with some wonder. Wonder about how God might meet us in our fear, much like God did just a few years ago when we were met with the possibility of learning how to farm alongside others and grow food for neighbors and with neighbors. And wondering then, maybe this is an opportunity to wonder about what relocation or how relocation could lead our community into even more bold and creative and imaginative ways for us to gather together, to conspire, and to collaborate with others, to love our neighbors by addressing the reality of food insecurity, food apartheid, right here in Sacramento, healing by joining with others the malformed relationships that we've inherited. So much of that is what Cole is writing about in her own memoir, the malformed relationships we've inherited with the land and with our neighbors. And so I've found myself sitting with just a place of wonder about what those next steps could be. Sadness mixed with possibility. The fear that I've held, though, these last couple weeks is not led me to either flight or fight. It's led me to freezing in a lot of different ways. On Monday, I stood outside of Pastor Linda and her husband Mark's house as the doctor called. Actually, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Quite honestly, I don't know when it was, but it happened. We stood outside and Linda received a call from her doctor, and she heard the news that no person's ever ready to hear, that she has cancer. And everything came to a stop. We're just frozen right out there outside of their house. And then this week, the oncologist shared more about staging and about chemo, about how cancer is metastasized and is moving in her abdomen, and I found myself freezing again. I've never accompanied a best friend and ministry partner through that kind of news. And it's an uncertainty that's overwhelming. And so I find myself swinging back and forth, like feeling completely overtaken by sadness, as I know so many of you have felt in your own lives for those that you love. And oftentimes that fear can just be paralyzing, like the freezing, I just can't move in that space. And then after I freeze for long enough, I find that the fear just like pounds in my head and my heart and my soul. And then I just feel like I don't have a lot left. And so I've been listening to music to just try to like keep on keeping on. The song that Hannah and Omari and Brendan and Tim and Ben shared with us, "In the Depths of Your Sorrow, I Wept Beside You. When you walked through the shadow, I drew you near. What can separate you from my perfect love? Do not fear. Do not fear." That's the most frequently repeated command throughout all of Scripture. Do not fear. Do not fear. This is what the angel said to Mary. Actually, though, the text opens with the angel saying, "Greetings. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And most English translations say that upon that greeting, Mary was perplexed by his words. It's such an odd word. Mary was perplexed and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The Greek word for perplexed can also be disturbed, agitated, deeply troubled. And maybe I'm projecting because it's how I'm feeling, but it's my sense that when Mary was told by the angel, "Do not be afraid," that she did not feel perplexed. She felt deeply troubled, disturbed. This morning, we're gathering to remember that from generation to generation, God shows up in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our feelings of uncertainty, in the chaos and confusion that is deeply troubling. From generation to generation, faithful and fearful people like Mary have found the grit and the resilience to move amid the fear into a deeper yes. And so this morning, we're going to wonder about what that might look like for us. Dr. Christine Hong shares in response to our reading for today the story of the Annunciation, which is what this is often called, has always held dissonance for me. After all, the angel's exclamation that Mary should not be afraid is terribly unrealistic. People have been afraid in far less tenuous circumstances. How could Mary not have felt fear when confronted with a celestial being? How could she avoid feeling afraid after hearing the angel's message about her pregnancy? Later, Mary's son, Jesus, also felt fear at Gethsemane when faced with betrayal and with capital punishment. As she watched him suffer and die, the fear and anguish she must have felt. So I've been holding my own kind of dissonance these last few weeks, feeling troubled in the grief and the pain, holding that alongside others as well. And plenty of pastors and even theologians would want us to explain the dissonance away, to explain the dissonance away, to gloss over the grief, and invite us to prefer or live into what I would describe as a sanguine, hollow optimism that passes for Christianity in a lot of places and has for a long time. Cole Arthur Riley challenges me to sit with the dissonance when she writes that, "I believe fear has the holy potential to draw out awe in us, to lead us into deeper patterns of protection and trust." And she's helped me to wonder this week about what those deeper patterns of protection and trust might look like. To wonder for our own community of faith what deeper patterns of protection and trust might look like for all of us. Again, Dr. Christine Hong writes, "What if the dissonance is what we are meant to sit with? This same dissonance is part of many people's stories. Every day, people are faced with untold grief and pain, and the gospel or the good news is not enough to take that pain and fear away. Hope sounds hollow to those who are enduring the wretched parts of life. We cannot move to theologize the fear and anguish of those around us who suffer. Rather than gloss over the dissonance, can we sit with Mary?" Yes, the Magnificat, her song of courage, is a mark of her bravery. Still, we know, because we too are human, that courage rises despite our fear, not in its absence. Those who have suffered loss know this. Our reading from the prophet Isaiah reminds us that in the midst of all of this, there is God's promised day of peace, a day when righteousness and justice and equity reign or prevail, when the wolf dwells and lives with the lamb, when no harm or hurt shall destroy any parts of the world, the earth, the cosmos that God so loves, and a child shall lead them. And this vision has been passed down to us. God's promised day of peace is the dissonant chord to every experience of brokenness. The dissonant chord to every experience of shame or hurt or humility that we know. 2 weeks ago, we opened in worship, pausing to pray for Pastor Linda and for her family, and for all of us, and for God's world that is hurting. And I wasn't sure when we did that if I would have words to pray. So I asked a mentor and friend, a spiritual director, Sandra, who has helped to guide our kitchen tables for a number of years now alongside Penny and others. I asked her to come alongside me, like to stand there. And I actually gave her the prayer in case I didn't have the words to pray that. And so I stood right there in front of the candles, and Sandra stood next to me and she put her hand on my shoulder, and Linda and her family gathered in front of us. And earlier this week, I was looking back on that worship and noticed something, and in conversation with Sandra, learned just a little bit about how she experienced that moment. And that experience of that moment, I think, may stay with me forevermore. So as we were praying, we were laying on hands. And some of us come from traditions where that is like just innate in how we respond, and that touch is healing. And others of us come from traditions where we've been really wounded by expressions of Christianity that move in those ways. And so it's a mixed up set of feelings that are all held in this space. And so we're inviting people to pray, and some people are in the depth of that, and some people have no idea who Linda is. And we're living in that space together. And as we move through the silence and the words, I feel on my shoulder Sandra's hand. And we move in the silence. And then what I learned this week is that Sandra had her hand on my shoulder, and then she raised her left hand in prayer, kind of like this. And as we were praying and we're holding like the terror and the awe of everything in that moment, the hope and the fear, Sandra, with her eyes closed, feels something wrap around her fingers. And she realizes in that moment that Linda's not yet 2-year-old grandchild is joining our little prayer circle by putting his fingers just quietly around Sandra's hand, showing us what it looks like to pray healing prayers for those that we love. Maybe giving us an image of what it looks like when a child leads us to God's promised day of peace. It's my deep sense that this is what it looks like to say yes, to sit at the edge of the bed, to sit with Mary in the dissonance, or to open up, as Cole Arthur Riley so powerfully reminds us, to open up the holy potential for fear to draw out awe in us and allow the God who is God, truly God, to lead us into deeper patterns of protection and trust, and to mold us into people engaged with an unknown that are capable together, sitting together, of making mystery of that unknown instead of terror. And I've wondered all week if this is something of what it felt like for Mary when she finally made it to Elizabeth's home. I wonder if those two fearful and faithful mothers-to-be experienced something like that as they sat at the bottom of the bed together. I wonder if sometimes God meets us in our fears by simply calling us to sit with others in the dissonance that is the reality of life. The only fragile and amazing life that we'll ever know. And I wonder if sitting there together is how we deepen our protection and trust through God's love. Maybe how we find our way to following Mary and so many others through the generations who have said yes amid the fear in their own days. So may these words from the Vietnamese Buddhist monk, peace activist and teacher and author, the late Thich Nhat Hanh, be our prayer. Today we hope that our agony will bear fruit, that birth and death will cross the stream of immortality, and love's spring bathe 10,000 hearts, that man, and I believe he uses man here intentionally, that man will learn the language of the inexpressible. Then the babble of a child will teach the way. May the God who is God meet us this day and every day in the depth of our own fears. And may that be enough. Amen.
So fear can be a good thing. It can help us to be attentive to our bodies, so we go to the doctor, right? It can help us be attentive while we're driving down the freeway. It can alert us to possible accidents. Fear can motivate us to do our very best. And fear can also be very harmful. And for so many of us, fear of the other or fear of failure, fear of the unknown, has led us to make hard choices in our lives. Church calls that sinful. Choices like building up walls to separate us with false safety. Choices as tearing other people down so we feel higher. So today in our time of confession, we're going to invite us all to ask for mercy and to pray for guidance. And as we confess, let us remember that we come before an entirely merciful and loving God who is always saying to us, whether we can hear it in the moments or not, do not be afraid. So as we are willing and able, let us stand. And let us pray this prayer of confession with one voice together. Patient God, you know just how often we make decisions from a place of fear rather than love. You know just how often we allow fear to take the place of logic, fanning unhealthy fires in our lives. You know just how often we tuck your words, "Do not be afraid," on the dusty shelves and in the back of our closets, stubbornly holding on to our own point of view. Forgive us for giving fear the microphone. Silence the voices of scarcity, shame, and rejection, which spark and feed so much of our fear.
to recenter us in love.
With hope we pray.
Amen. Family of faith, even when we forget God's words, like 5 minutes from now, right? God doesn't forget us. Even when we lose our way, God does not lose us. Even when we fall short and stumble, make some mistakes, God forgives us and holds on to us. We are known. We are forgiven. We are held and loved. Thanks be to God. Let's say amen.
Amen. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
When all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the painter, the sculptor, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated the earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe, and to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of creation and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you together, my beloved creation, all of this is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people couldn't sit with one another in the fear. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out beauty and hope and placed it in a form that the people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to abide in God's love as Jesus abides in God's unfolding grace.
Jesus did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that, and we couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. So in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too great for them. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises all of us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means to us, but we can be grateful and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died.
That that Jesus gathered all of his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal. He took the bread and the cup of wine, and he blessed them both, and he gave thanks to God. And he said, I am sharing this meal with you now, so you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me. Invite us to pray together words that Jesus passed generations ago to his followers, and they have been passed from generation to generation to all of us. And we named it the Lord's Prayer, and we invite you to address God in the language that is dearest and most true to your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Holy Spirit, pour your power upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts for us your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean all. For those of us who are gathered in our homes or wherever we are outside the sanctuary, we invite you now to bring close to you your bread and your juice or your cracker, whatever it is that you are going to break and share with all of us virtually here. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we're going to move outside, but it's kind of squishy wet. So instead of coming this way, those in the back will, that's biblical, shall be first. And so Sarneet will invite you from the back out those double doors around and back in the single door, right? We encourage you, if you are here in the sanctuary, to take time in prayer at any of the stations that surround you. There are ways to stand or to kneel, and Jan has created different prompts each week for us in Advent as we move with this journey of generation to generation. Every week there are people here among us who make this a life practice, but there are many times, and almost every week, people who have never tried anything like this before. Most of us find ourselves somewhere in between, but what we want you to remember is you can't make a mistake, no matter what. And we're in God's divine dance of grace together towards this feast, and we watch over each other. So just watch what's going on around you, and we haven't lost anyone yet, right? As we move in God's dance.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for all.
Thank you.
encourage those that are praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need. God, as we sink into the beauty of the music surrounding us, the prayers within us, and your wild love for the world, may we be reminded that your holy mystery binds us together as one and then calls us into the world with a deep yes, that we might join with your healing and hope that is already on the loose. So we offer this time and our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We want to encourage you to continue wondering about what God's next steps in your life might be. For many of us, that means sharing in life together. And we do that here at the table by sharing something that we call a deep commitment. It's a way of saying how we want to try to practice our faith together with others. And we've had many of you already share those online, and we are deeply grateful for each of those. If you haven't had a chance yet, we hope that you might take a few moments today to spend time reflecting on where God might call you in the year ahead to root your life in grace and grow in faith and reach in love. Our giving here at the table supports the many ways this community is in ministry, hopefully joining with God's love and healing in the world. Our Christmas offering this year will be divided between two important ministries, one that we have been in partnership through Table Farm for some time now, the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. Half of our Christmas offering will go to continue supporting their important work that's happening in South Sacramento. And then half will go here to Table Bread, a new ministry. Our administrative board gathered yesterday with our district superintendent for something we call a church conference. But the beautiful part of the church conference was that we tasted Chloe's bread, and it was amazing. So in the coming Sundays, you'll both smell and then taste the bread coming from down in the kitchen. Pray tomorrow morning, because the health inspectors are coming for a final inspection, we hope. And then Tuesday, pray Monday also. But they'll probably be here Tuesday, and we'll be in that together sharing some good news. If you are my daughter, you have told me many times to turn this song down in the car. If you've been walking around in East Sac the last couple days, you've probably heard it coming from our little Prius. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. This is our music team. I'm sending us out with a song called Fear Not.
Remember all I said. Find the
and fearful people for so many generations have held on to each other's hands and trusted that God's love is coming. Coming in the midst of the fears that we hold, the fears that sometimes overtake us. So may that peace and that hope of God be yours this day. Amen.